up, fresh as our turn, baby. Ate up the game, juice for the first time. Gucci, them Gucci, ain't got no job.
All right, hello and welcome to ATL Charlie Hoops. I am Robbie Callen. Joining me is Bo Cherney. Bo, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Robbie. Everything's fantastic.
Fantastic. All right. We're here on, we're going to be doing this weekly here on the Podium Game on the HP Basketball Network. We hope y'all will join us for this each week. We're just going to be here to talk a little basketball and whatever else comes to mind for a little bit. So we'll start with the Hawks, because that's where we are.
Mm-hmm.
You were at the game on Saturday night against the Knicks, where they came back and responded very well to on a back-to-back after a double overtime loss on the most bullshit buzzer beater I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, God. I was talking about this with some of the other media guys there. It's like, of all people that could have made that shot, it had to be Lance Stephenson.
First three-pointer of the season is a banked-in 30-footer.
Man, just couldn't have been Kemba, who has, you know, like a clutch streak going, you know, going back to his days at UConn. It had to be Lance Stephenson. Good Lord.
Yeah. However, they did look good, especially in the second half of that Knicks game.
Really well. Played really well.
It was nice. You know, Al looks like he's got his rhythm back. I remember talking to him in the preseason, and he said it was just he was still trying to get his timing down. It looks like he's got the timing down with the mid-range shot. He's making better rim runs. He had that nice alley-oop.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like he's starting to get back to where he needs to be timing-wise, which is also, I think, part of what's helped our defense the past few games is his defensive timing's back a little bit. It's still getting there, but our defense has been much better.
Also, I'd say just even like when he's not making jumpers, he's confident with it now. You could tell like some of the preseason he was very hesitant to take jumpers. So yeah, at least he's taking them now, which is a positive sign.
Yeah, and I mean we need to Millsap.
Millsap's been awful.
He can't make a free throw, and he got rejected by the underside of the rim Saturday.
Got bailed out with a foul call that I don't think was a foul at all.
I don't think he touched him, but yeah, it's funny. Millsap went through a similar stretch last year where he couldn't make a free throw and he just wasn't doing anything, and then he turned in an all-star performance for 3.5 months. This Hawks team is pretty interesting. I still think they're a middle-of-the-East team. I love what Dennis is doing. Dennis Schroeder looks fantastic early this season.
He's absolutely great. He looks completely different with his jumper, completely confident with it. Finishing at the rim.
He's finally carrying the ball high to the rim.
Yeah.
You know, he used to do that scoop shit all the time. And now he's like taking the ball high and actually laying it off the glass as opposed to trying to scoop it, where he got blocked like 20% of the time. I swear, when he would go in the lane, he'd just get swatted. Now he's taking some contact and he's finishing, and he looks so much more confident on the ball. He's pulling up for jumpers. He's knocking down threes. He's gonna be the second string by December.
He's definitely, like I was saying, more confident with the defensive scheme, too. He knows where to pick his spots instead of trying to go out all the time and then, you know, like over-rotating or something. Now he just looks more fit with an NBA-style defensive scheme.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, if he can play well, I mean, Sheldon's been bad. So if Dennis can kind of fill that role and be the type of player a lot of us expected him to be after his first summer league, when people thought he was going to be the next coming, that'd be good for the depth there. Kyle went off against the Knicks.
Kawhi gets, I think, is shooting like 70%.
It's so dumb. Like, and the thing is most people I'd be like, well, he's going to regress hard to the mean, but I mean, the mean for Kyle is pretty damn close to 50% from three.
Right.
So
I was wrong. He's shooting Yeah, he's 75% true shooting is where he's at right now.
Well, that's not bad. That's okay.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I was talking to Chris Herring last night. We went out after the game. And it was funny. He was like, I mentioned how we were talking about contracts, and I mentioned how good Kyle's contract looks now. You know, he's got that he got the 4-year, $24 million deal a little while back. And I mentioned how good that contract looks now, and people were kind of, you know, Yeah, people made fun of it when it happened. And he was like, who was making fun of that? Like, he's one of the better shooting guards in the league, certainly a top 10 shooting guard in the league. He plays defense. He's the best shooter in the NBA. Like, who is, like, $6 million for that? Like, the average salary is $5.6 million. Like, and you have Korver for that.
And it's descending, so it goes down.
Yeah.
As he gets older.
It's crazy.
So.
It's crazy. The Hawks lucked up so bad that he was willing to come back. Like, I really thought he was going to Miami that year, which would have been terrifying. Like, can you imagine one of those Heat teams? Okay. Like, replace Mike Miller with Kyle Korver. Like, Mike Miller's a decent player.
Miller and Kyle Korver are kind of, I'm not going to say they're similar just because they're white shooters, but, I mean, Korver's what Mike Miller would be if Mike Miller wasn't injured every five games.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, Korver is what Mike Miller should be, you know? Like, if Mike Miller could move still, that's the problem with Mike. Is like, he lost the ability to move, like, and so Kyle's gotten better with age, and, you know, Kyle Korver's a fine line. He just gets, you know, keeps getting better. But yeah, the Hawks have looked all right. They're kind of treading water, you know, 2-3. They'll be fine.
I mean, their three losses are on the road against playoff teams. So
right. Toronto looks great.
Yeah.
I think I undersold them. Coming into the season, I didn't think they were going to be this good. Toronto looks really good. They're currently, as we recorded this, they're dominating the Sixers, as they should.
Mm-hmm.
And, let's just talk about the top of the East right now. You got Toronto, Chicago, and we know Cleveland's eventually going to be there.
Yeah.
But who's the fourth team for you right now? I mean, those three, to me, seem like they're going to be the three that separate themselves, just because... Washington maybe, but I think Washington, especially this early stretch, they've survived so far at 5-2, but I think without Beal, they're eventually going to fall off a little bit.
They have practically almost the same differential as the Hawks do. And Washington's 5-2, and the Hawks are 2-3.
Yeah, Washington, it's like, I mean, John Wall's playing like all-world basketball right now. He's been incredible, but I think they'll fall off a little bit. But, I think right now they're probably the fourth team in the East for me. Is that where you're at?
Now it's skeptical, but once I get Beal back, yeah, definitely. It looks like that. So it could be Miami, who's looked – Chris Bosh has looked extremely, like, awesome.
Yeah. They're in town on Friday, and I want to talk to him because, like – it's kind of funny, you know, we talk all the time about guys trying to learn how to fit roles, especially when they go to teams with a big three or something like that. Mm-hmm. And now you take one away, and I think it's almost easier for these guys to transition back to what they were. You know, I mean, at this point, Bosh, he knows how to find kind of the balance at this point between being the third guy, and now he's pretty much the main guy because Dwayne Wade's not... you know, 2008 Dwayne Wade anymore. 2010 Wade, he's less of the threat on the ball, although he's looked pretty good this season. But Bosh gets to kind of revert back to being the old Bosh, but he has new tricks, if you know what I'm saying.
Like, 3-point shot's going to be huge for
his
game.
He's got a 3-point shot. He's got, I think, just a higher basketball IQ. I think playing with LeBron will just do that to you. Like, you just learn basketball better when you're around guys like that. And so I think Chris Bosh is going to have a phenomenal season. Like, he gets the ball enough, he's going to have the usage to put up big numbers. And I think he's just become such a – like, he was always a good player and always a pretty smart player, but he knows so much more about the game now and how to play it. I think they're going to be good. The question is, are they deep enough to really sustain stuff? Because it's one thing for them to be playing well now and for Wade to be playing well 3 weeks into the season. When we get to game 66 to 80, is he going to be healthy enough?
Right, and Wade's always going to have that wild card factor now, and it's obviously it was a big deal. That was on everybody's minds going into the season, thinking that they couldn't really be a top team in the East again because they didn't think Wade could take off games like he did last year with LeBron on their team. So it's just the question is, so, you know, is he going to be able to play enough games for them to be a 50-win team again, or, you know, a 48-win team or whatever they may end up with? But right now they look great, and Chris Bosh looks probably like a top 10 player easily right now with how he's playing, especially when you factor in how well he is on defense.
Yeah, I mean, he's been phenomenal. I mean, against the East, especially, like, he's going to just feast, you know? The Pacers are sad.
Yeah, and then Herbert just got injured.
Yeah.
At least I don't know how long he's out or if there's any prognosis, but I know he got hurt last night. So I don't know. Who's their starting lineup now? Because it's supposed to, like, at least later this week, I think. So they've got, like, Donald Sloan, CJ Miles, and
the God,
Ion Mahimi, and Luis Scola.
I just think Luis
Copeland.
Copeland's like their leading scorer.
Well, yeah, he's like their leading shot taker.
That's where we're at. That's where we're at in Indianapolis. It's like, we got Cope launching.
It's awesome to watch. Yeah,
it's really, dude. I was really disappointed that he and Mike Scott didn't just go at
Mike
it.
Mike Scott is firing right now. Me and Brad Rowland
turning around and shooting. Like, he's
me and Brad Rowland were talking about this. It's like, we need to, like, go through just, like, his, you know, all his shot attempts, put, like, a little timer up there just to see how long he holds the ball before he hoists it.
He plays hot potato with that basketball. It's amazing. Like, that he had the three at the end of, and he's just unconscious about it. Like, he was, what, 1-for-7 in Charlotte before he hit the game-tying three in the end of regulation?
I have no idea.
He was just chucking, and then he just nails a fadeaway three over Kemba, which I didn't understand why they had Kemba guarding Mike Scott. Like, you know Scott's going to shoot it.
Yeah.
Like, Kemba's not going to be able to get a hand in the face. Anyway, I guess it worked out for them in the end. Anyway, yeah. Like, in these bad Phillies, just Philly tries. They play really hard. I'll give them that.
I mean, they have a bunch of guys that
their fourth quarters. Yeah. Their fourth quarters are so bad.
Just run out of energy. It's pretty much what it is.
I guess they just I guess like Brandon Davies and Hollis Thompson just run out of gas. But I think we tried to record this last time, and the Knicks. I was like, oh, the Knicks might not be that bad. I retract that statement. after watching them get waxed by Brooklyn, and then beat by. By a Hawks team that played 58 minutes. They just got outlasted by a team that played 10 extra minutes the night before.
Yep.
On the road, too. So, like,
I'm trying to figure out what happened that game with Melo. Melo had 14 points in the first quarter. And he had 17 until, like, 30 seconds left when he hit a garbage three-pointer.
Melo's been bad. Like,
part of that, part of that was, you know, Hawks played some good defense. I only threw a bunch of different guys that are really good defenders at him.
They play some defense, but when does that ever stop?
He just, like, stopped shooting almost, it seemed like.
Yeah, when does that ever stop Melo from scoring on the Hawks, though? Melo averages, like, 33 against the Hawks. Are you kidding me?
This is true.
I really do think he averaged more than 30 against the Hawks, like, at some point last year. The Knicks are bad. Like, I think Amon Shumpert's been their best player. Probably not the best thing for you.
He was playing really well last night until he fouled out. Come on.
Yeah, he does that. Yeah. He does that. I had to drop him off my WAC fantasy team because, like, I knew he'd foul a lot. So I was like, oh, Shump's going to be good because he's inefficient. And all of a sudden, he's, like, shooting the lights out. So that was annoying. But good for Shump. Good for Shump. That's a tech guy. I like him. Boston is competitive? I say that with a question mark at the end?
Yeah, they are. I mean, I don't know what the makeup
is
so far.
Kelly Olynyk just fills it up. Like, KO just chucks.
Well, they'd have to have somebody to chuck on that team. He's actually doing a pretty decent job at it, and they've won from it. So,
I think that's probably my favorite thing that's happened in the NBA is that we now have big guys that are chuckers. Like, you used to always have two guards that are chuckers, and that's not a whole lot of fun. But it's so much more fun to watch a 6'11 dude just launch from the outside. Like, we talk about Cope, Mike Scott, Kelly Olin, and they're not really good players, but they just chuck. Like, it's not even like it's the really good, the elite big men that shoot anymore. Like, Darrell Arthur just launches from the outside for Denver. Like, I have him on the WAC team, and like, I think at one point last week he had 11 shot attempts, 8 were 3-pointers, and he had made 2. Like, it's bad. And then he goes and, like,
pushes Deion Waiters and
throws Deion Waiters to the ground. That was dirty.
He got suspended one game from that. I legit thought it would be multi-game suspension.
I think it's just because it looked so lazy. Like, it didn't look as malicious as the J.J. Barea, Andrew Bynum one.
No.
But it was just as dirty and just as dangerous. But he did it in such a lackadaisical way that I think it saved him from getting, like, a 3-game suspension.
I can see that. I still think it's just because it was just so stupid.
Dumb. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? You can't throw a forearm shiver into a dude that's at the rim in the air. That's not cool. That's how you, like, if that happens in a pickup game, there's a brawl.
Yeah.
Like, there's fighting going on, which is weird how, like, I know the Cavs are worried about Deion because he landed hard, like, you could hear it, but not a soul stepped up to Durrell. Like, people just kind of, like, walked by him, like, which surprised me. Like, even in a pickup game, that starts a fight. And the Cavs, I don't want to get hot takey here and be like, oh, they don't care about each other, but maybe they don't care about Deion. Like,
I mean, that was reported last year that him and Kyrie were having a bunch of issues in the locker room, so I don't think it's
much
of a stretch to say, like, eh.
Maybe somebody, like, maybe they're like, you know what? Sometimes I want to hit Deion Waiters, too. Like, maybe that crossed their minds. They're like, I'm not really going to step to Darrell because I, too, kind of want to shove Deion Waiters. Milwaukee's been fun.
Yeah, they have.
Continue on our tour of mediocre East teams.
Which is all of them.
All of them except for, like, 3. Milwaukee's been fun. Like, Jabari's exciting. And Giannis is Giannis. Mm-hmm. He's not really efficient.
He scored, what, 18 points, I think,
and he turns it over. But
what's OJ Mayo up to? Like, rose from the dead last year. He lost
30 pounds, so I'm calling him Miracle Whip because he's a slim down male, and he's, like, a good player again. Is it a contract year for OJ Mayo?
No, because he signed a contract before last year. 4-year
deal.
Yeah,
4-year deal last year. So that doesn't even make sense. Like, I thought maybe this is at first I was like, oh, contract year, you slim down, but he's good for OJ Mayo though. Like, I'm happy for him. He's playing really good. He looks kind of like Jeremy Lamb now that he's slimmed down because he got kind of the poofy fro, like a short Jeremy Lamb. And he's playing like him. Like, he's playing really well. Larry Sanders is back to not being an asshole completely on the court. So he's kind of fun to watch again. I mean, really the only teams that are just miserable to watch at this point, Charlotte is miserable to watch unless Al Jefferson has the ball. Or Kemba's doing something cool. Like, other than those two,
their offense has been pretty awful.
Like, they really just give it to Al Jefferson and let him get the work in the post. Because there's no way I can defend him in the post. His footwork's impeccable. At least in the East, there's nobody I can defend him. Like, he was going to work. I mean, he was just putting Al Horford to work. Al tried and couldn't do anything. At one point, we threw Paro out there, which is when you know, like, when the Hawks throw Paro out there for defensive help, that's when you know you're grasping at straws.
Yep.
Like, yo,
Paro, go push him for a little bit.
Body up Al Jefferson. That'll work. Al Jefferson's so good. And then
I'm surprised I'm surprised we didn't see any of Elton Brand in that game. Like, just because he has long arms, like,
yeah,
body up, has the size to body up, and has ridiculously long arms.
Elton Brand's 6'8 with the arms of a 7'2 dude. But yeah, I mean, Charlotte's no fun to watch. And then there's Detroit.
A train wreck.
Which. Let's talk about our good friend Josh Smith for a second.
He went 2 for 17 the other day. He scored 8 points. How do you score 8 points on 17 shots? He only took 1 3.
Which is incredible. He's only taking 9 threes on the season. People need to lay off Josh on the threes. He's not taking that many. It's barely two. It's not even two a game. But, yeah, Josh has 71 points on 84 shots. He's shooting 32.1% from the field.
Is that bad?
And has not made a three-point attempt on 9 shots. Mm. He has taken 17 more shots than the next highest. The next highest is Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who's just as bad. What is the Pistons' offense? Why does Andre Drummond only get 53 shots? Why is he getting that few touchdowns?
I can't explain this. I don't.
Their best shooter is Caron Butler.
Oh, Caron Butler's still in the league? Good for him.
Yeah, their best shooter. No, excuse me. Retract that statement. Their best shooter is the god Jonas Jurupko. 11 for 18 on the season. 4 for 8 from 3.
I don't know if that really counts. 18 shots. Well, Josh Smith has taken all the other shots, so I guess you're not going to get that many.
Somebody, who else going to? Like, I guess that's what Josh is saying. Like, you look at that roster. It's bad, man.
Drummond has some, like, grown man moves in the post, but there's not much else he can do besides clean up on the offensive boards in terms of scoring.
Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, like, I might give him some post touches. A few more.
Crow can score in the post, too, but...
Or why aren't they running? Okay, so here's my thing.
They have too many guys to post, and that's it. There's no room.
Too many cooks in the post. My thing on this is, and I mentioned this the last time we tried this, is if I'm Stan Van Gundy, Josh Smith just wants to be involved in the offense. Like, that's just what he likes to do. If you don't let him be involved in the offense, he's going to make himself involved, which is when he shoots jump shots. Or grabs the ball on a defensive rebound and looks off every guard on his way to the rim for a turnover. Make him a facilitator. He loves to pass. But you have to run sets where he's, like, the passer. Like, run some stuff where he's in the high post and he's passing. I think Smith and Andre Drummond could be a killer little 4-5 pick and roll the way he ran it with Al Horford back
in
the
day. Definitely. And that was just a killer move for
couple
of years.
Murder. Like, just let... And then, I mean, it's... And Drummond's more athletic than Al, so, I mean, just, like, throw it anywhere near the rim, he's going to get it. It's almost an impossible play to defend. Like, run that, at, like, 3 times a game. Like, get him some touches in that. Let him facilitate up top. Don't make him just kind of, like, stand around where when somebody passes it to him, he's going to be like, all right, I'll...
I'm open.
Sure. Well, of course he's open. Nobody's guarding him. He's also shooting 48% from the free throw line.
Smooth or Drummond?
Smooth. Drummond's 33%. That would be a little high for Andre.
God.
They're just not good offensively. They're a pretty decent defensive team. But the offense, I don't even... Goodness.
How that team's constructed, I don't even know what to do to try to keep everybody happy. You can't, really. I mean, that's just have to...
Yeah, it's just not going to happen. All right. I'm here to stand up for Joe Johnson, which, God, if you told me I was going to say that 3 years ago, I would have. But people need to stop ragging on Joe. All right? It's funny, you know, people are always, you know, they shit on the contract and...
He's a seven-time... They may call him a seven-time All-Star, but it's more of a joke instead of actually praising
okay.
him.
Okay. I got this. I must say, I was an All-Star this past year, and Millsap's table was right next to Joe's table at Media Day. And I was sitting there, and I was talking to Rembert Brown from Grantland, and Rembert hates Joe. Because, I mean, Hawks. All the Hawks fans don't like Joe. Like, they think, like, and he said, he's like, I understand it's not really his fault, but I still hate him. And so... He kind of dared me to do it, but I did it. And I walked up to Joe, and like in the middle of the scrum, and I just kind of leaned on the table. And Joe knows me kind of. I mean, like, I covered him for a year, but Joe doesn't really pay attention to anything. So I don't know if he really remembered me, but he just kind of like nodded at me, and I was like, "So Joe, 7-time All-Star, does it ever get old?" And like, I figured he would just be like, "Oh no." He gave me like a minute and a half long answer, and I was so pissed because he had never given me that good of an answer in a year that I covered him.
That is
about like, any basketball like a question.
All I can think of with my experience is if, like, you, like, went out to ask Teague, like, a joke question, and he, like, suddenly, like, rattled off, like, a minute-long answer is what I feel like your pain is.
That's happened to me before, too. But, like, Joe is so quiet. He used to mumble through interviews after, like, a 40-point night. And, like, I go in, and I'm trying to kind of troll him and everybody around us. And he gives me this really well-thought-out answer, like, it never gets old. You always appreciate being here. You always appreciate getting voted in, or you know, people voting you in, and all this stuff. And I felt kind of bad for like making fun of him all these times, because he really does appreciate that he gets to go to these All-Star games. But like, you have to think even he knows sometimes it's a little ridiculous. But like, he's earned like 5 of those. Like, 2 of them were reputations, but he earned, like, 4 or 5 of those.
I mean,
look at shooting guards in the NBA, yeah. and name me 3 that are better than Joe Johnson.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you, so I'd just say, like, Harden, you know, maybe Klay Thompson if he keeps up whatever, you know, whatever Michael's secret stuff that he took over the offseason.
Yeah, we'll get to Klay here in a minute. We'll get to the entire Warriors, because I predicted this. But, you got Klay, you got James, but especially in the East, like...
Oh, in the East, it might be DeRozan.
He's a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
He might be the best.
Like, and Joe's really good on defense, too. That's where he kind of separates himself from a lot of...
Well, he used to be.
He's still pretty good at it.
Yeah, he's not bad.
Yeah.
And he can dribble, too. I always love when he makes Paul Pierce fall over. Like, there's nothing. The fact that those two had to play with each other for like 2 years really ruined a lot of things, because like, those were some of the most fun battles. Like, that was really it with the Hawks. Like, Kevin Garnett always punked Josh Smith. Like, it was really sad watching Josh try to go up against KG, because he would just get in his head and Josh would just start. He would just start launching shots and just was all out of it. And, like, Zaza and KG was cool for a little bit, but then it was like, Zaza, you're not really that good. But Joe and Paul always felt like they were on the same level, and that was so much fun. And Joe would just get him with a tricky dribble and make Paul fall on his face, and it was fantastic. Happened, like, 3 times. The last time it happened was, like, the last year Pierce was in Boston. I think Joe was in Brooklyn.
Yeah, it's
and
that
like
big...
Pierce literally started like crawling on the floor, and it was amazing.
It's
by the way,
gift.
This Paul Pierce hate hour is sponsored by Jared Dubin.
Shout out to Jared.
I gotta say that. Sorry, Evans. I know you'll be bummed if you listen to this, but Dubin, this is for you. But yeah, nothing ever made me happier than Joe Johnson making Paul Pierce look like a fool. Paul Pierce made Joe look like a fool many times, but I forget those times.
Joe never fell on the ground, really.
That I can remember never fell on the ground and started crawling because he was dribbled into submission. I just had this theory that Joe Johnson actually doesn't know anything other than basketball, and he just shows up and they tell him when he's playing. Like, he shows up to the arena every day. Like, even in the summer, they're like, Joe, we're off. And he's like, oh. It's kind of like Groundhog Day. But for Joe Johnson.
Maybe that's why Teague was hanging out in Joe's house when Joe got traded, because Joe's not there because he expects to be playing basketball.
Still my favorite story of all time. Jeff Teague, for anybody that hasn't heard it, I'll go over it real quick. Jeff Teague was on an NBA TV interview, I believe, and was asked where he was when he found out Joe Johnson was traded. He was in Joe's house. Joe was there, we are led to believe. But Teague was just in another room playing video games, because that's what Jeff does. And he found out from Joe while in Joe's house via text message.
Greatest.
Which is the most Jeff and Joe thing ever. And his reasoning, Joe's got a big house. I like to imagine Joe has a house with, like, endless rooms. Like, did you ever see the Cribs episode with Baby and with Birdman and Lil Wayne?
No, where I never did.
Where they had, like, 25 bedrooms. Each just had a singular bed, and it was for Wayne to keep all his girls in or something. It was incredible. By the way, go find that Cribs episode. It's creepy because it's creepy but kind of funny. And that's what I imagine Joe Johnson's house. It's just bedrooms for Jeff Teague to play video games in.
He's got his own separate room for the PlayStation, another separate room for an Xbox.
No, each game. He has a Call of Duty game room. He's got a Destiny room now. Like, I'm just happy that Jeff has his own house now. Like, he didn't have a house for, like, his first, like, 4 years in the league. And now that he got a contract, he finally bought a house. So, shout out to Jeff T for having a house and talking to me about wrestling pay-per-views. Shout out to Jeff T. So shooting guards in the East suck. And that's why Joe makes the All-Star team, and you shouldn't make fun of him because he's actually a really good player. All right. I think
moving on. Can we talk about the West now? Talk about fun basketball.
Okay. Yeah, we'll talk about the West. That's a much more fun topic. Golden State Warriors, predicted by the NBA Oregon Trail to be the best team in the league. They are the best team in the league.
So, Robbie, is this where you accept your award for
prophecy
for new NBA Oracle?
I will take my crystal ball trophy. you're welcome. For those of you that put your future bets down based on what the Oregon Trail said, anybody else that didn't, like, you're a dummy. Oregon Trail has not lied yet. It predicted LeBron to the Cavs a week and a half before that happened, and now it predicts Golden State. I'm giving you free money. Anyways, they went into Houston and gave Houston the business a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Steph Curry is phenomenal this year. Like, I mean,
he's phenomenal every year.
Yeah, I think he put a move on Isaiah Kanan last night, against Houston that was just completely unfair. Like, he hit him with a behind-the-back and then just kind of dribbled in and laid it in. I think he might have got an and-one on it. And Kanan didn't even know where Steph went. He ran into a screen on the opposite side of the move.
It was rough.
So, I mean, it's kind of funny. You got Golden State, you got Houston, and you have the Memphis. And Sacramento. Boogie for America.
Sacramento's so fun.
They really are.
I don't care if this has just happened. I mean, they've been so fun the first week and a half or whatever. Just, I didn't think Darren Collison would actually still be a decent player. I expected, like, Rudy and DMC to do well.
Rudy?
I expected Rudy to do well. He did well at the end of last year on the Kings.
Yeah, Rudy's out here balling.
You got Carl Landry back, who's a good defense player.
Sure. They're still starting Jason Thompson.
But he's a really good player. Really good. He's a good player.
He is. Jason Thompson is currently the MVP of my WAC fantasy league. I just want you to
know. Shut up, Robbie. No one cares about your WAC fantasy.
I'm just saying, Jason
Thompson. No one cares about Team Poop Jardine.
Poop Jardine's killing it right now. You gotta say that. I have Ben McLemore and Jason Thompson, and yet the Kings are still 5-1, which is incredible. Because they play, like, such a weird rotation, but they have Boogie, who is
killing it,
the most dominant force that side of the Mississippi, because it's him and Anthony Davis are probably the two most dominant players right now in the NBA, which is stunning to say, because LeBron's not been dominant this year.
I agree with you. Yeah,
it's kind of fun, like. DeMarcus Cousins had, 30 and 17 and 22 minutes the other night or something like that?
And fouled out.
So he's a legend? in the game where they had 100 points at the end of three quarters because Denver is bad. The Nuggets fire sale is coming this year.
Yep.
It's happening. They're just going to sell it all. It's really depressing that OKC is what they are because they put a hell of a squad on the bench each night. Suit squad MVPs.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
I don't know where they win games at this point.
They're beating Sacramento right now, so there's that. I think they were. They were last time I checked. They still are, 52-39 and a half.
Well, damn.
Who's scoring? How did they get 52?
Reggie Jackson.
Still on that team, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they still have Serge. They still have Reggie Jackson, who apparently is getting frozen out sometimes by Kendrick Perkins, which is... What? Like...
Perkins got 7 points.
Oklahoma City's just... Like, they just have to... Like, they need to tread water, but I don't... But they have, like, concrete cinder blocks strapped to their legs as they try.
They only have, eight player or nine players in uniform or something?
It's I think it's eight. At one point, it was seven. Like, it got real bad when, PJ3's out. Reggie Jackson went out with, a little wrist thing one day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not good in Oklahoma City. And it doesn't look like it's going to get a whole lot better the next month.
I mean, I remember guys talking about this when Westbrook went out. It was even if they were, so bad in their first 20 games where they were, 5-15, I think. Even if they, they'd be well at this point. But, they'd still have to win, have to go, 47-16 to get, in the playoff position or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, because it's the West.
Yeah.
You have to have damn near 50 wins to get in the West. I mean, I guess the good thing for them is some of the teams we kind of expected to be tearing up in the West have kind of started meh. Like Dallas is 4-2 and Portland at 3-3.
San Antonio at 2-3.
Yeah, so I mean you got teams that haven't gotten off to a fast start. But the teams that you would expect to be in that battle for 6, 7, and 8, those are the teams that are off to fast starts.
Mm-hmm.
Like Houston and Memphis and Sacramento. I don't know, the West is just going to be so much more fun to watch this year, as it usually is.
East, I think, should be better than last year, but that's not saying much. It shouldn't really be hard to be better than, your 8th seed winning 38 games.
That was horrible last year. It's crazy, the West is just so stacked, except for the Lakers.
They're fun to watch, though.
The Jazz are super competitive. The Jazz are super competitive with our boy Quinn Snyder at the helm.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota's giving people games all the time. And then, it's the Lakers that are the one team that doesn't even compete.
They're giving up 117 points a game right now. The Lakers are.
That's so bad.
It's terrible.
Where did the Lakers win a game? When do they win a game? They don't play Philly till March.
Let's play this game. We'll click on LA schedule.
Let's run through the Lakers schedule and figure out where a win happens. All right, we have Charlotte tonight. Maybe.
Okay. I'd say that's their best chance for just looking down their schedule. That's their best chance for a month.
Yeah, that's your best chance until
Minnesota at home without Rubio, probably.
Minnesota at home without Rubio. Well, Denver at home. Before that,
even as bad as Denver is, I still think Denver is a lot better than.
I'm just saying winnable. The Hornets are better than the Lakers. Come on.
They have no. Well, I could see if.
The Lakers don't play defense.
So,
Bob Sacre.
I don't know.
You're hinging your hopes on Bob Sacre against Al Jefferson.
Oh, man, I just thought of that.
Al Jefferson should have 40-20 by the half. Just feed him.
Kobe's going to be fun to watch. Is that game on TV? It's not. Damn.
Game on TV. Kobe's going to be hucking.
I expect all Lakers games to be on TV somehow.
Oh, my God. They have to
They have, what, 30 nationally televised games?
By the way, their next national TV game is Friday on the road in San Antonio. That's going to be a bloodbath.
It's at home in San Antonio. Still going to be a bloodbath.
Oh, it's at home, which is maybe worse.
Can Pop sit all of it, like, is, I want him to sit all of the starters and still win by 30. Because he can do that. Like, Spurs could probably get away with that.
Austin Day drops, like, 28. Like, Aaron Baines.
The Aaron Baines game?
Aaron Baines has a 2020 evening. A nice light work. No, I'm looking at this. So, if they don't get Charlotte tonight, which could happen before this post, they go at Memphis, no. At New Orleans, no. Home against San Antonio, only hope is if Pop sits 8 people. Home against Golden State, they might lose by 50. At the Hawks, no. At the Rockets, no. At the Mavs, home against Denver, maybe.
Well, that is a killer back-to-back in terms of traveling.
Mm-hmm.
At Houston?
Oh, wow. At Atlanta, and at, yeah, no, that's bad.
Yeah.
That's cruel. Oh, well, it'll be fun to watch.
This is on back-to-back games on national TV for us.
Yeah, that's going to be good. Your home Minnesota game against the Rubio-less Timberwolves? Yeah, that's it. And then maybe December 2nd at Detroit. That's what you're looking at in the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13... In the next 13 games, they have 3 that are winnable.
Oof. This could get really fun really quick.
And that's winnable as in, like, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Not like I would favor them, but I'm giving them a 30%.
I'm not sure if I would favor them against the Sixers right now.
Oh, that's a fun game to play. I just say that we wipe the schedules for the Lakers and the Sixers and just have those two teams play all year. The team that loses the most gets the number one pick. Cause like,
I'm on board. Look at this.
Wouldn't it be fun if it's like 41-40, like the Lakers have like, or like 40-40, the Lakers and they're tied at the end of the year. There's 2 games left and Kobe screws and the loser of this gets the 14th pick. So the winner gets the top pick in the lottery. Like, the team that loses the most, and the team that wins the most gets the 14th pick in the lottery. So, this is how you end tanking, by the way. No, actually, the winner, whoever wins the most, gets the first. I like that better. So, like, can you imagine, like, how hard Kobe would be trying in those games if he was playing the Sixers every night? Like, he's guarded by Tony Roten every night. How many shots he puts up. Can we petition the NBA to do this? Are you telling
me? Let me bring up the White House petitions website.
You wouldn't be locked in on League Pass for the 67th meeting of Sixers and Lakers at the end of the year. Like, let's do it. I'm in. Let's go. I'm all on board.
I just want to predict the scores of those games.
Oh, my. I mean, it'd be like 130 to 127 every night. It'd be no defense.
No.
Tony Roten would be the league MVP. I have no qualms in saying that. League MVP on a 40-win team.
Tony like Roten, both, who once continuously failed in dribbling drills in front of us in Phillips Arena.
That was magical. I've never seen a professional basketball player fumble his dribble more. And now he's a starting point guard.
Starting. Air quotes.
Well, staring.
He's a point guard.
So if nothing else, that's what I hope this podcast inspires somebody to do that. Like somebody high up in the league office. Do we know anybody in the league office? Conrad's in the league office. Not really, but I'll ask him. maybe he can like slip a note under the door somewhere. Because I would love to watch that every night. Just to see Kobe just losing his mind. It would be like Groundhog Day. It would be fantastic. Like Kobe would think he's playing, like,
You just don't tell, like, you just confuse Kobe and just make him think he's reliving the same day. Like Groundhog Day Truman Show type shit. So that's my idea for how to fix tanking, is you have to win.
I'm definitely on board with this idea. I'm full support.
Like, it's pretty clear who the two worst teams are this year. Like, I feel like we could do that every year. Like, y'all are not making the playoffs. Like, we know this. Just take them off the schedule for everybody, and it would raise the competitiveness of every game around the league.
Yeah.
You know? Like, instead of playing the Sixers, you know, we retweet schedule, you play another division game or something like that. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Or you just inter-squad scrimmage that night. There you go. If you're more competitive anyway than playing the Lakers or the Sixers. And more productive. You can work on your sets. There you go. Anyways. So we just fixed basketball.
Yeah. It's over.
Done.
No more fixings needed.
You're welcome. Just, we can, RIP hoop idea. We fixed it. Yeah. So, anybody else? I mean, Utah's been fun. I like what Quinn Snyder's doing there. They pass it almost too much, but they're fun. I love Exum.
Yeah. Degeneration Exum.
The best Photoshop. Jordan White. Best ever. Dallas, it's funny, like, people are like, oh, Dallas is disappointing. They're 4-2.
It's really just because, like, Parsons hasn't played that great.
But they're 4-2. What are you talking about? Monte is, like, Monte is the best now. Like, I used to enjoy Monte kind of ironically, like, okay, he's just chucking. But now I just enjoy watching Monte Ellis play basketball.
He's a decent player. He has obvious flaws, but he's a decent player.
Yeah, he can play. I'm kind of disappointed we don't get, like, I would just love for them to randomly run Felton out there.
Why?
Just to, like, give Knicks fans, that's what they should do. When they play the Knicks, they should play Felton 48. and see if they can win. Just to piss Knicks. Can you imagine how mad Knicks fans would be if Felton played 48 and their team lost to the Mavs? Because they could totally do it. Like, just don't let Felton touch the ball. Just have him out there.
All right, Felton, if you get the ball, pass it to Dirk in the post.
Yeah, just give it to Dirk or Parsons or Monte. Like, literally anyone else on the floor. Jay Crowder. Let Jay Crowder run the point instead. Like, just don't touch the ball, but be out there just to rub it in Knicks' faces. Like, that would be fantastic. So do that, Rick Carlisle.
I believe in Rick Carlisle to find a way to get around that.
If anybody can do it. The Pellies?
They're fun. They have Anthony Davis.
They have Anthony Davis. That's all you really need to know. The Spurs are at elite level trolling at this point.
2-3?
They're 2-3. They started Austin Day and played them like 34 minutes against the Suns and took them to overtime or something like that. Aaron Baines is playing hella minutes. Like, Pop just doesn't care. And I wonder if it's ever going to come back to bite him at some point. Like, you're 2-3. Like, you're in 10th. Like, you're not far out of the playoffs, but...
It's early, but,
like,
yeah,
If he's messing around with this, like, all season, like, the West is so deep. Like, I mean, you figured the Spurs are going to come back, but, like... Maybe he just wants a new challenge and wants to be like the 7 seed 1 year.
Just so let's like, you know, Duncan's played like 50 games at that point, and then he can just play all his guys the entirety of the playoffs at full run.
Yeah, just like, yeah, I mean, just think about how miserable it would be if if you're one of the top teams in the West this year, and San Antonio and Oklahoma City are your 7 and 8 seeds.
That's rough, buddy.
How pissed would you be? That would be awful. That would be so bad.
I mean, are there any...
That could happen. That would not surprise me. Like, San Antonio just kind of wants to get into the playoffs. Like, they know what they're doing.
I'm thinking...
San Antonio gimps in like, the 6th or 7th seed.
I'm thinking, like, imagine if this is, like, the year that, like, the Clippers got, like, the 1 seed or something. And then they end up with, like, San Antonio or OKC in the first round.
So can you, like, think about this. Like, you're the Clippers. Your first round opponent is like OKC. And if you get past them somehow, in like the 5 seed are the Spurs. Oof. That's legitimately something that could happen this year. Like, I can see the Spurs totally being like a 4 or 5 seed. Just because they don't care where their seeding is. Like, every year we're like, oh, they're going to win all these games. I think this might finally be the year where they're just like, let's just get in. You know?
I can see that.
Like resting even more strategically than usual. Like, I can't remember the last time they did this 3 games into the season, like, they're resting guys. Like, 2 games in. Like
I said, I think sometimes Pop just does that despite the TV TNT schedule. Yeah.
Sure. That Thursday night game was a dumpster fire. That was bad. I also think the other thing is, like, you don't put anything on film. If you're playing a team that's going to be a playoff team, and you might have to play them again, like, you put nothing on film for them to look at.
That's a good point.
Like, this is what we did successfully. Well, we did it against Austin Day and Aaron Baines. Like, what the hell does that have to do with Manu and Tim Duncan and these guys? Like, cool. Like, what can we look back on? So I think there might be something to that. A little bit of that.
I would look into that, like, halfway into the season, at least, like, see who specifically they've rested against.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I think there's a little something. I mean, football teams do it all the time. Like, football teams, the week before, if they have, like, they won't really show their hand. Like, that's how Texas A&M beat Auburn, is, like, they didn't show anything on film. And so Auburn had nothing on the new quarterback. I'm going to talk football. I don't care. Basketball podcast. I'll bring it out. But, like, I think there's something to that. I mean, it's an 82-game season, so everything gets on film, but it's not what you've done against them. So you don't have as much
right to
rely on, like, okay, we had success doing this. It's like, well, we had success doing this against some scrubs.
And you'll see it, like, if you go into a locker room before the game where they have film on, they'll be showing most likely, like, the last game they played against you.
Sure. So it's usually the loop they had is the last game they played against you and then the last game that team played overall.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two film loops that usually you see. Who was it that was laughing that one day when we were there?
Oh, Luke Rittenour.
The Hawks got, like, waxed by Minnesota one day and we were in there. And we were, like, laughing at how bad the Hawks had been playing. And Luke Rittenour was laughing that we were laughing at the game.
Oh, because we were just watching the film. We were just like, what is Damari doing there? Or something like that. And he's just sitting there laughing at us. Like, he's not even, like, doing anything, really.
Yeah. Well, Luke Rittenour, what else do you have to do? I mean, well, we were, like, stalking Ricky Rubio or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Normal things that
bloggers do.
Yeah, just trying to say what's up to Ricky. I think you were trying to talk to Shved.
Mm-hmm. And he wasn't there.
Because you speak Russian and you wanted to show it off, and he wasn't even in town, so you stood in the locker room for 20 minutes?
I thought that would have told me. Like, it's like, oh, by the way, he's not traveling with us, sorry. Because, like, I told them about that.
Did you talk to PR?
Yeah, I talked to their PR before that. Like, 2 weeks before that. Like, hey, is, like, you going to be, like, available, like, pregame or something? I was like, oh, yeah, we'll let them know. And then he wasn't there, and then this, like, never told me.
There's some good locker room stories. Like, last time I tried to talk to Al Jefferson, I was, like, standing by his locker for a good 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And, like, he comes back in. There's, like, maybe 10 minutes left in the window, like, the media window before the game. And I was just trying to talk to Al. It was, like, the end of last year. And he comes in, and, like, before I could really say anything to him, he walks in and, like, he looks around his locker and he goes, hey, where's my damn sandwich? And I was like, oh shit, no, I didn't take it, man. Like, what? And so he just, like, spends the next 9 minutes walking around the locker room trying to find a sandwich. Somebody put it in the fridge for him, but nobody told him. Like, one of the, like, equipment managers did it, but they weren't around. So he's, like, screaming, like, where's my fucking sandwich? And Al Jefferson's a large man, so it's kind of scary. And so he finally finds it in the fridge, and he comes back eating his sandwich. And he just kind of like looks at me. He goes, you still need me? And like PR was like tapping their watch. And I was like, all right. And I just kind of like, I was like, nah. I was like, how's the sandwich? He's like, best fucking sandwich ever. I was like, all right, Al. I was like, what kind is it? Ham and turkey. I was like, nice. So, Al Jefferson loves ham and turkey sandwiches. That's what I learned. That was my entire interview with Al Jefferson.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah.
Pulitzer Prize winning.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm there for the hard hitting stories in the locker room, like sandwich talk, that sort of thing. You know. Anyway, any final thoughts on the first, what are we, 3 weeks into the year?
About that, yeah. 1.5, 2, 3, whatever. I'm just so flabbergasted by like the Kings being 5-1. I guess it's just like the favorite thing. Just everybody's like freaking out. So like, are they actually this good? Like. No, they can't be this good. This is just a thing. But seriously, they're 5-1.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, if people are like, oh, it's a small sample size. But, like, this is all we have to go off of for this year. It's like, yes, it's a small sample size, but...
So, like, also, it's not like they're like, beating up on the 76ers every night. They've actually beaten some good teams.
Right. So it's like, it's small sample size theater, and it's early, and other teams are going to get better, but... How fun would it be to have the Kings in the playoffs just to get, like, a couple playoff boogie games?
Oh,
like,
God.
Where you just, like, let's say they slide in, like, the 7th seed and face somebody, you know, like, a really good team in the first round. Like, Boogie could steal 2 or 3 games in the series by himself.
I believe it.
That would be fun. So that's what, yeah, no, I'm all about Sacramento getting in the playoffs this year somehow. So we get playoff Boogie.
Boogie for America.
And Rudy Gay. Because, like, I've done a complete 180, totally rooting for Rudy Gay. He gets such a bad rap.
Chris Barnwell would be so proud of you.
No, I know.
He's been the biggest Rudy Gay mark since, like, 2 years ago, at least.
Yeah.
When nobody was on his... On his bandwagon at all.
It was fair for nobody to be on
his side. Yeah, he was doing terrible in Memphis at that point.
And then he went to Toronto and tore that down. So we got that, like, Cousins and Anthony Davis being the best players in the league right now. Like, I'm totally fine with that. And the West is so much better than the East. And Cleveland needs to get its shit together because I'm tired of hearing the hot takes.
They don't get along, Robbie. They're doomed.
I'm tired of the hot takes. Like, I just want them to run off, like, 10 straight wins so we stop talking about how bad they are. Because they're not bad. They will be just fine. Like, they have LeBron and Kevin Love and Kyrie. Oh, my God, Kyrie doesn't have an assist.
Kyrie's not really good, Paul.
Oh. I really wish there was, like, a basketball radio show like that. Like a national basketball radio show where like Kobe stands were calling in.
Oh,
can we do this?
Well, yeah, tell me.
Who do we need to talk to do this? Like, I need a radio show hosted by, I don't know, like make Matt the host.
I was going to say Matt or Harper. Harper would be so good at that. Just entertaining those people.
Can we have a call in EOB 1 week? Like once a week. Like a call-in EOB where it's nothing but, like, just people spewing hot takes. Like the Paul Feinbaum show.
Yeah.
It'd be so good. It'd be, like, because you know people, like, I see these things on Twitter all the time. Like, these people exist. They're just as bad.
Yeah.
Like, the East ain't shit, Paul. Like, the East, like, East Coast bias or something. Oh. Like, we would be, like, trashing that. Oh, like, the SEC. It'd be great. So we need to make this happen. Somehow, I don't want to be involved because I don't want to listen to these people, but I want to, like, listen to somebody else listening to these people. Like, so
let Harper do it. I could see how entertaining.
I nominate Zach because I like to see Zach semi-miserable. Anyways, so we fixed basketball because we put the Lakers and Sixers in an 82-game schedule against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And... I want Raymond Felton playing 48 each game against the Knicks.
That's my takeaway at this point. All right.
All right. Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening. Anybody that's made it this far.
It was well worth your time if you made it this far.
You're the real MVP. We'll try to be better next time and maybe a little more organized.
Yeah. We won't be more organized. Let's not even.
All right, we'll try not to be as bad. So, till next time. I'm Robbie Collin. That's Bo Turney. This has been ATL Shawty Hoops on the Podium Game. Thanks for listening.